Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Appreciate your spirit. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. Amen. All right, let's get started. Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. John in chapter 21. Thank you. I appreciate your spirit and your zeal. Appreciate that good song. Amen. Well, so glad and honored to be here with you today. And, you know, I'm tempted to say it wasn't that long ago that my wife and I sat where you sat, but it's really not true to say that anymore. It's Dr. Ms. Cowling, it's been over 30 years ago, and so good to see you. And thank you for your faithfulness in continuing to serve the Lord and training the next generation. God bless you. And boy, am I excited for you, because these are great days in your life. They really are. These are fun days. But they're also days of preparation. And I want you to know that you're being prepared well here. And the teaching and the training that you're receiving, you're going to need it. And you're going to call upon it so often. You are laying a foundation right now that your life ministry is going to be built upon. And so make the most of it. Amen. Be a sponge. Get everything that you can. And walk with the Lord while you're here getting your education. Serve the Lord. Worship Him. Let God use you. And then, of course, make sure you're building friendships. They will be sources of encouragement for you for the rest of your life. And there'll be people that hold you up in prayer, that encourage you. Some of you will serve the Lord together in various places throughout the course of your life. And so these are great and wonderful days. And thank you, young people, for loving the Lord. Thank you for answering God's call upon your life. And there's a great work to be done. And in recent days, I've been reminded again that America is still a mission field. And there are cities all over our country that are liberal in nature, and they need an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church to be started in those locations and people to be led to Christ. I want to encourage and challenge you men who have felt the call of God to preach and who maybe have a desire burning in your heart to pastor someday. Would you consider, and beyond considering, would you make it a matter of fervent prayer and ask the Lord if He would be pleased to use you in starting a church? And it's wonderful to take an existing church, and but I'll tell you, there's nothing as exciting as starting a church in the work of the Lord and pioneering a work. Great times, and it is a great need, and we need some young men and some young ladies who will be wives of pastors, who will have the courage of their convictions, and that will have a faith produced by your walk with God that is willing to step out into the unknown and go somewhere and scratch out a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not what I'm preaching on today, but I just feel prompted of the Holy Spirit to challenge you young men in regards to church planning. There are so many areas in our country that desperately need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. And chapter 21, John in chapter 21. I want to take as our text this morning verses 1 through 14. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. The Word of God says, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael, Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. You've heard about the Last Supper. We read about it a few chapters back in John chapter 13. On that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room and they shared a meal together that we commonly refer to as the Last Supper. And after they ate, Jesus, you remember, he girded himself with a towel and he washed his disciples' feet and he gave them a lesson in humble service. And now we come to the final chapter of the Gospel of John, John in chapter 21. And here we read about what I'm calling the last breakfast. It was breakfast on the beach with Jesus. And I would propose to you this morning that the disciples, and especially Peter, probably had their lives changed even more at the last breakfast than what they did at the Last Supper. I want to talk to you about the last breakfast today. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer and ask God to speak to us. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and the truth, God, that empowers our lives, Lord, to know you and to live for you. And I pray today that you would just teach us from your Word, and God, that you would help us to make good application that would prove to be helpful in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably heard it said all your life, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Well, in the 21st chapter of the fourth gospel, we read about what I believe may be the most important breakfast that was ever served in the history of the world. In the scene before us, the resurrected Christ visited his disciples once more, and after he performed yet another miracle for them, he fed them a breakfast that he had prepared for them. And in the scene, we are reminded of a few important things that are worthy of our attention this morning. As we look at this text and as we consider the scene that's put before us, we're reminded, first of all, of how powerless we are apart from Jesus. We also see in this story how passionate we are when we get a glimpse of him. And we see how privileged we are to get to spend time with him. Before John closes his gospel, he wants us to see how Jesus strengthened and encouraged his disciples for the work that lay ahead for them. My prayer today in this chapel service is that the Holy Spirit would take and do the same thing for us, that he will take this record and he will use it in our lives this morning, and he will encourage us as disciples living for Jesus in our day. And so what I propose that we do is I want us to look at these verses together this morning. Let's walk through this passage. And I want you to think carefully today about what Jesus had to say on this final page of his gospel, not only to the disciples in that day, but to you and I, his disciples in this day. First of all, I want you to see what this meeting produced in the disciples. This meeting that was not by chance, but was by the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He proposed to meet with the disciples on this day, and this meeting produced something in these disciples. By the way, young people, if you'll purpose in your life to make it a holy habit to meet with the Lord, that meeting with him will also produce things in your life, things that you need. In verse 1, John tells us that Jesus showed himself again unto the disciples. And the word showed there, it means more than he just made himself visible to them. It was more than just a casual appearance in which he allowed them to once again put their eyes on him. The word show there is a word that literally means he manifested himself to them. He revealed himself to them. On that morning by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, which actually is a large lake, Jesus was showing his glory to his disciples. This meeting with those men was more than a reunion. It was a revelation. Meaning this, Jesus was showing himself to his disciples in a way that was sure to produce something in them. What was it that this new revelation of Jesus after his resurrection and before his ascension, what was it that this new revelation from Jesus, what did it do for these men? Well, number one, it re-enlisted them. After Jesus had risen from the dead, according to Matthew chapter 28, his disciples had been told that they were to go back to Galilee and they were to wait for him there. And so that explains to us why these men were back near the Sea of Tiberias. Again, another name for the Sea of Galilee. What they were doing there is they were waiting for Jesus. And while they were waiting, Peter grew impatient. Perhaps he got bored. Maybe he got backslidden. Maybe he lost faith. But whatever the case, the lure of the water and the lure of the fishing business, in other words, the lure of the old life, started pulling on Peter's heart. And Peter succumbed to that appeal, and he said to the other disciples in verse 3, "I go a fishing." And they said to him, "We also go with thee." Young men, young ladies, don't ever forget that your life influences other people. Your life, for good or bad, for positive or negative, it is going to have an effect upon those that are around you, that you have relationships with. You see, what we find here, these are men who now find themselves without a life purpose. They're sort of at a loss right now, what they're supposed to be doing and who they're all about. And so what they did is they went back to what they knew. They went back to what they did in life before they met Jesus. In part, because they didn't know what else to do. You see, a bored man is a dangerous thing. On these days when maybe you are hindered somewhat by the weather and you have extra time in your dorm, hey, make sure you fill that time, as Pastor encouraged you to earlier today, to spend some time in prayer, to get caught up on some reading. Listen, bored people tend to get in trouble if they're not careful. Billy Sunday used to say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And the reality is that Jesus had originally called these men away from their boats and away from their nets, that he might make of them what? Fishers of men. And his purpose for them was not to return to Galilee and to resume making a living on the water. His appearance to them in this story was a means of recommissioning them and re-enlisting them for the work that he has called them to do. You know, from time to time, that's needful and necessary in our lives. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here today and you have felt the call of God on your life and you have followed the Lord, but maybe now you find yourself and maybe you're somewhat backslidden. Maybe you've lost your passion. Maybe you've lost focus on what God has created you and called you to do. Could it be that there are some of you here this morning that if you were honest with yourself, you'd have to admit you sort of find yourself spiritually drifting? You know what you ought to be doing. You know you ought to be doing something for Jesus. You're not sure exactly what it is. And in the meantime, you've just kind of fallen back in your old ways and patterns of living. If so, please listen to me. Jesus saved you for more than what you're doing. He has a purpose greater than the old rut that you're running in. And what we see happening in this story is this meeting with Jesus, it served first of all to re-enlist these men. But notice also, not only did it re-enlist them, it re-energized them. Jesus says in verse 3 that the disciples fished all night. And then verse 4 says that in the morning, Jesus was standing on the seashore, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And at first, when he began to speak out and yell out to them, at first they thought that Jesus was just some local that was giving out unsolicited fishing tips from the seashore. But it wasn't long before they realized who it was they were dealing with. In verse 7, John recognized that it was Jesus, and he said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Peter heard this, he reached for the coat that he had taken off in order to work through the night and do the fishing that he was doing, and he wrapped it quickly around him, and he dove out of the boat into the lake, and he started swimming for the shore. And when I picture that scene in my mind's eye, I love it. You see, Peter had returned to his fishing boat when he didn't know where Jesus was. But when Jesus showed up, Peter couldn't get out of that boat fast enough. What is going on here? The presence of Jesus has re-energized these men. Being near their Lord gave them a sense of purpose and a spiritual passion for their life that had been missing. I would ask you, young man, I would ask you, young lady, are you missing in your life today a spiritual and eternal purpose? Are you lacking passion for a life of serving Jesus? Has the fire gone out in your soul? Have you been away from Jesus for a season? Have you lost your way spiritually? Oh, you're still here. You're still going to class. You're still going through the motions. But have you maybe lost your way spiritually? If so, listen to me. He's here today. I know you can't see him, but he is here nonetheless. He has promised to be present when his people are gathered in his name. He is here. Not only is he here, he's near. He's near to you. Does that do something for your soul to hear it is the Lord? He has come to meet with us. He is here. Oh, let me tell you something. That ought to stir your souls. Like Peter, you should draw near to the Lord as quickly as you can today. That's what's going on with Peter in this story. I've heard folks say, you know, oh, he put that coat around and he jumped in the lake because he was embarrassed, because he was naked. You're missing the point. He jumped in the water because he didn't want to wait for the boat to be rowed to the shore. He started swimming to the shore. Why? Because he wanted to get to Jesus as quick as he could. He wanted to get close to the Lord. The Lord had been absent. He hadn't been with them. And now he's there. And Peter wants to get as close to him as he can, as quick as he can. Can I tell you, that ought to be what goes on in our hearts when we get in the presence of Jesus. We ought to draw nigh unto him. Well, as we think about the last breakfast, we see what this meeting produced in the disciples. It re-enlisted them and got them back on course, and it re-energized them. The fire in their heart began to burn again. But notice what this miracle proclaimed to the disciples. John's gospel, if you're familiar with it, it is a record of certain signs, miracles that Jesus did that pointed to his deity. And Jesus performed these miraculous signs on earth, and they served as signposts. They pointed people to him as Lord and Savior. And this is one more miraculous sign that is recorded in the closing chapter that points his disciples to certain truths about him that they needed to know. This particular message, this sign, it involved a big catch of big fish. 153 to be exact. I heard one preacher preach on this text, a sermon that he entitled, How to Go from Zero to 153 in No Time Flat. I like that. But can I tell you, the miracle was about a whole lot more than the number of fish in the net. It was about the man on the shore and the men in the boat. And Jesus used this miracle to teach the disciples some important truths that they were going to need to know as they went forth into ministry in the world. And listen to me, those same truths you are going to need to know as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. For one thing, he taught them how impotent their labors could be. In verse 3, Peter and the other disciples said they were going fishing, and the verse ends with these words, and that night they caught nothing. All night they threw their nets out time and time again and pulled them in, but each time they would draw those nets back up, it was empty. The Bible says they caught nothing. Not a single fish, not a minnow, not a tadpole, not a guppy, nothing. And I remind you that these men were professional fishermen. They knew this lake like the back of their hand. They had grown up on this body of waters. And yet, in spite of all of their gifts, all their knowledge, all of their talent, no matter how hard they toiled, they caught nothing. Now, do you think that was coincidence? Not at all. That was providence. Jesus kept the fish out of their nets all night before he commanded them to swim into their nets the next morning. And that wasted night on the water was a parable of the principle that Jesus had first taught them back in John chapter 15 and in verse 5 when he told them this, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Listen, folks, there are times in life when we try so hard and yet we get nowhere and we accomplish nothing. Do you know Jesus will sometimes just stand on the shore of your life and he'll let you fail miserably just so that he can show you that your labors alone are impotent, powerless, futile. What Jesus taught these disciples by this miracle he performed, and what Jesus wants to teach us today is this: how impotent our labors can be. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how talented and gifted you are. I don't care what opportunities you might have in life. Listen to me. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will accomplish nothing of eternal value. He taught them how impotent their labors could be, but then he taught them a second thing: how important the Lord would be. After a long night of catching nothing, these disciples probably welcomed some advice, even though they didn't know it was Jesus when they heard his voice coming from the seashore early that morning. Notice what Jesus asked them in verse 5. He said, "Children, have you any meat?" Or in other words, "Fellas, hey, have you caught anything?" And they hollered back, "No." And then the stranger offered them some advice. He said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Well, I'm sure they figured they didn't have anything to lose, and so they took the advice. They cast the net on the other side, and this time they couldn't even pull the net back into the boat because it was so full of fish. And it was at this point they realized it had to be Jesus. Because this kind of a catch was not, this kind of a catch was more than just a good cast. This was a miracle. They couldn't lift the nets into the boat, and so they just began to drag it to shore. And when they got them, when they got the net to shore and emptied the nets out onto the beach, they realized, they counted, and it totaled 153 fish. But not just 153 fish, 153 big fish, great fish, no dinks. Now, why does John remember and record for us how many they caught? Well, you ask any avid fisherman what is the most fish they ever caught, and they will tell you every detail of that fishing trip, including exactly how many they caught that day. This was a record-setting day for the disciples. It's what fishermen call their PB, their personal best. And can I tell you, again, that was not by accident. Jesus made sure that this day was their personal best. Because he was teaching these men that as they went forward in life to do his will, they would need his power if they were going to reach men the way they had caught fish that day. How important the Lord would be to their labors. I would ask you this morning, students, have you learned that important lesson? Do you realize that unless Jesus does something through you, you'll never do anything more than what you can do? And that's not much, if anything at all. That loved one that you're trying to win to Christ, let me tell you something. He's not going to be won to Christ by your charm, by your intellect, by your slick gospel presentation. They will only be won when the power of Jesus touches their heart and opens their eyes. You and I cannot do what needs to be done apart from the work of Jesus. And we need him. And listen to me. The world needs you and I to live lives dependent on him. And so this last breakfast, we see what this meeting produced in the disciples. It re-enlisted them and it re-energized them. We see what this miracle proclaimed to the disciples. It proclaimed how impotent their lives could be if they worked only in their own power. And it proved to them and proclaimed to them how important the Lord would be. That if we're going to accomplish great things in life and ministry, then it'll be by the great power of the Spirit of Christ that lives within us. Thirdly and finally, I want you to see what this meal provided for the disciples. Jesus showed up that morning, not just to show off his fishing prowess, but to share a meal with his disciples. Now, I've preached a number of messages from this passage throughout the course of my life, but never before this sermon have I ever focused on the breakfast or really even seen how important it was. But in my studies, I've come to realize that this breakfast is one of the major important parts of this chapter. I want to show you what I mean by that. I want you to consider what this meal provided for these men. First of all, note that the food was important. Once all the disciples reached the shore, John, who had been one of the men that was out in the boat, he records in verse 9 that as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So when they showed up on the shore, Jesus had already been cooking breakfast that morning. And verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Now you understand, these men had fished all night. They caught nothing. They were tired, and no doubt they were hungry. And this food was significant because it pointed them to the fact that Jesus knew their needs and he was ready to supply them. And verse 13, it paints a beautiful picture of Jesus and his disciples having breakfast on the beach together. And it's not the scenery that is so beautiful. It's not the view of the water. It's not the sun coming up over the mountain on the horizon behind them. It's not the scenery that's so beautiful. What's so beautiful here is the Savior and his service to these men. Here was the resurrected Lord. He was still tending to the needs of his disciples. He was still caring for them and serving them, just as he had done not so long ago in the upper room when he had the Last Supper and washed their feet. And here's the application for you and I. Can we not find comfort and assurance in this scene for our life and ministry? The same Jesus still cares for our needs today. He still has prepared for us what we need when we come to him. This food was important. It may just seem like a few grilled fish, but let me tell you something. It was far more than that. It was Jesus' way of saying to these disciples, I have called you into my work, and I'm sending you out in the world to do my will. But I want you to know as you go, I know what all of your needs are, and I will always be there to provide your needed supply. So the food was important. It reminds us that our Lord, he knows our needs. And he is faithful to provide what our supply is called upon at that moment. But then notice lastly, not only the food was important, but the fellowship was inspiring. I want you to notice something interesting that John records for us. Look down at verse 12. Jesus invited them to sit down and to eat this breakfast that he had prepared. And notice what John adds. It says, and none of the disciples durst or dared ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And the implication is that they were inclined to say, is it really you, Lord? But they dared not because they knew it was clearly him. The whole idea of him being raised from the dead and really being alive again, it's still so strange to them. They're still trying to wrap their brain around and process it because this was not the first time he had appeared to them since rising from the dead. According to verse 14, this is the third time that he's appeared to them. But it was still just so amazing to them to actually see him alive because they all knew that he had been very much dead. And they're still trying to wrap their brain around it and to understand it. And so here's what Jesus did. He invited them to sit down and to eat breakfast with him on the beach. And in so doing, the disciples got yet another opportunity just to take in the reality of his resurrection. Just being with him was inspiring to them. It helped them to know even better what a mighty Lord they served. Can I tell you, that is the real blessing of this last breakfast with Jesus. They got to spend time with him and see him and talk with him. And what a great and gracious gift that was to these men. Now I ask you, do you realize that Jesus wants to spend that same kind of quality time with you? He says to you each and every day of your life, come and dine. Not just eat, but dine. Not just food, but fellowship. Students, how long has it been since you had breakfast with Jesus? How long has it been since you sat down with him in the morning and ate the food of his word and dined together and talked with him? You will find at the meal, he becomes more real. Knowing, John said, knowing that he is the Lord. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. John and the other disciples learned that morning at the last breakfast how much they needed the presence and the power of Jesus in their life. Pastor Robertson.
Please, if God's spoken to your heart, I think this would be a good time to say, God, teach me to walk with you. Help me to have that daily fellowship and food from your word. Only you know where you are in that situation, friend. If you're walking with God, I rejoice with you. But all of us ought to say, God, please help me.